Okay, so welcome back, everyone, to a book, a feast, and a bottle.
Bottle. Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. So today we're going to be reading. What was the full title of the book? The Assassination of Julius Caesar.
Yes, by Michael Parenti.
Yeah, it was The Assassination of Julius Caesar. People's History of Ancient Rome by Michael Parenti. And this is a guy that I've read a lot of his stuff before. He was a teacher at UCLA, and he's just like a really interesting guy to read. This is the first time you've read any of his stuff, right, baby?
Yes, the first time.
Okay, what did you think?
It was pretty interesting. You could tell he definitely had some strong opinions on the subject. He was very invested in what he was saying.
He was. He's like, he's kind of, he's always focused on like the social aspect, like the social aspect of all of these things that we only look at how society was for the elites, you know?
It's a lot of history was written by wealthy scholars, so a lot of time you don't get the point of view of the common people.
Yeah, and like, to me at least, it was kind of surprising. I mean, I thought I knew, like, just basic stuff about ancient Rome before. But, like, the fact that, like, the rampant slavery, the weird, like, anti-woman laws that they had, it seemed a lot more, like, contemporary to, like, issues that people have now than I thought it was going to be.
And a lot of other representations of Roman history tend to paint it more favorably and don't really touch on a lot of the social issues like slavery and the wealth inequality and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, they focus on, like, how a couple of senators, like, lived lavish, like, chill lives, and, you know, everybody else gets fucked.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. I was just going to say that they usually just focus on, what the senators are doing and the emperor, and they usually just paint the regular people as like a faceless rabble or a mob. They don't really touch on situations involving the common people.
You know what I thought was funny is that I thought that this entire book was just like setting up to make me hate Julius Caesar. Or Augustus, you know, the main guy, but it actually painted him as a lot more human and a lot more like of a person that was sort of taken down because he sort of wanted to do away with all of these power structures and all of this shit around him.
Well, yeah, he was, it was Gaius Julius Caesar, I believe. A lot of time they paint him as a tyrant in history books and media, but he was kind of a complicated person, and he was challenging the social order, and unfortunately it angered a lot of his peers, so.
Yeah. And him being painted as a tyrant was just, like, convenient so that his, like, opponents could, you know, justify all the shit they did, like... I remember there was a part where they said, you know, if they just kill Caesar, then they're getting rid of a tyrant and, like, a tyrannical king. a mad king that had like overstepped his power, right? But if they killed all of the people around them, then they were sort of like inciting an uprising instead.
Right. They basically made it seem like the fact that he was standing up for the common people at all and doing, you know, asking his wealthy peers to contribute just a little bit of their wealth for social programs made him the enemy.
Yeah. And he did a bunch of like really like progressive shit like back in the day. Like he was like the first people to like allow the Jews to worship freely, and he was like the first person to like go to like Spain and allow like what are they called the equestrians.
The equestrians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like he was always kind of like a friend of like the common folk, despite the fact that he was not like, he was like a really lavish person. It was like a weird like juxtaposition.
From what I remember in the book, Parenti mentioned that Caesar didn't actually live that lavishly himself. He was very generous though with everybody, and
I mean,
he also didn't drink much. But, you know, he did mention him being, you know, a bit of a snappy dresser. So, you know, I guess he spent a little bit
on some things. He was still a rich guy.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, let's not, obviously he wasn't giving away his wealth. But he was definitely more concerned with the needs of the common people and decisions than his peers were.
Yeah, but also like being concerned with the needs of the common people after you have like after you're emperor of the Roman Empire and after you have like fucking a bunch of women that you gave estates to that you had romantic relationships with. All I'm saying is like after he looked out for himself, he looked out for the common man.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. Again, I'm not going to say he was a hero. And even though he was more progressive than the senators and other politicians, he definitely did things like tried to maintain peace by placing foreigners in positions of like powers, placing them as governors of the regions that their home, you know, they call home. And instead of having a Roman governor, a lot of people apparently weren't okay with that. And he also made it easier for the slave class to earn their freedom. He instituted some other programs that made him a lot of enemies. And again, even though he wasn't technically asking much of his peers, the fact that he was asking anything was too much.
Yeah, because I think him asking anything is going to lead people to question why they don't have like the rights that they, you know, that the senators have and all of this. But, you know, even beyond that, like beyond Julius, sort of like the concept of like how slavery worked in Rome was fucking crazy. Like, and like the laws that were like, oh, you can rape your slaves, but you can't rape a Roman citizen, or like a freed citizen.
Oh, yeah. Especially in the, as far as homosexuality was concerned, homosexuality was a crime unless the act was committed against a slave, in which case it wasn't considered a homosexual act because slaves have no manhood. So
yeah, because it was like robbing a Roman of his manhood, basically.
Mm-hmm.
they had a lot of like really convenient laws, especially for like another thing that stood out is when they said that like a woman who like lied, like she like her fate was fucked, you know?
Right. They, the woman in particular, had no rights. They don't even, a lot of times they didn't even have their own name. They were just given variations, feminine variations of the patriarch's name. And if there were many women, female children, they would just name them like Elder, X name, Elder, or Younger, or the first, the second, the third, but they all had the same name.
Or they had like some like what do they say, some like idiosyncratic like name, like oh the fat or big nose or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Something not flattering. A lot of their laws definitely seemed to be at the convenience of whoever was paying to make them. Including things like murder being acceptable in certain situations.
Oh yeah, all their laws were fucked. Like the entire we have like these like this reverence for like the Roman like law and like how it like was the basis of like all of this other shit, and then you get to see just how fucking corrupt and how every law that is made is just there because it benefits some landlord or it benefits some senator, makes them a bunch of money, or it keeps him from losing his slaves, or like people that were like traitors of the empire would be like allowed to come back and keep their all their money and stuff, and then later on they're the same people that you know end up killing him, and it's just a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it was basically a system designed to chew through the people at the bottom rungs of society to keep the people at the upper echelons of society, living in a lap of luxury and not having to lift a finger or contribute anything of their own. They literally just pooled all the wealth into the hands of the elite and left the poorest of them with nothing. Not obviously not just the slaves, but even the proletariat, who were the working class, which in would include, the freedmen, ex-slaves, and people from other parts of the empire, from other provinces outside Rome. So
Yeah, that didn't quite have the same rights.
Not only that, but a lot of their enemies, once they had chewed through all their own resources, all of the everything that their people had to offer, they would go out conquering other lands and taking everything they had and enslaving them and forcing them into the empire. And a lot of the enemies of the empire had some obviously very nasty things to say about him. One guy, chief, let me see. I'm not sure what his name was, but he was a British chief, and part of his quote was, "Robbery, butchery, rapine, the liars call empire. They create a desolation and call it peace." Basically, as long as they had everything and nobody was challenging their right to take what they wanted, they would call that, peace.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always about who gets to define like what these words mean, you know what I mean? What is peace is whenever like whoever is making laws has what they want, you know?
Whoever holds the power is the one who gets to determine the laws and what peace is.
Yeah.
what Julius Caesar did wrong was he tried to make peace with everybody in the empire, both the Romans themselves, you know, including the Romans themselves, but also all of the citizens of the empire, all the conquered peoples, by giving rights to different groups that his peers didn't approve of, and that in the end got him killed. And then after he died, within a year, there was basically open rebellion. A lot of people weren't happy that one of the people who had been working the hardest to give the common people their rights was murdered in plain day, you know, in broad daylight, called a tyrant, and the people who killed him were trying to call themselves heroes. Obviously, there were a lot of people who didn't vibe with that.
Yeah, but it worked ultimately. Like, look at history and look at how they're remembered.
At the end of the day, the struggle of the common people isn't even, you know, part of the history of the empire. It's pretty much focused only on the people who wrote the history, which was the victors, the wealthy. They're the ones that wrote their history. They're the ones whose records that we still have today that tell us, sorry, Luna's being a little needy, that, you know, that give us the insight into how life was for them.
You know, another thing, going back to earlier in the book, but a thing that I thought was fucking weird was the way that the Romans sort of viewed slavery and, like, their role in slavery. Like, they almost viewed, like, they had this way of, like, whitewashing it to where it was like, oh, slavery is a good thing. It's an opportunity to repay your debts, or it's, like, a way to become an indentured servant, or it's a way to, like, be able to apply for this job, basically, or all this shit. And, like, so people were, like, convinced into slavery and shit. And then they would say, you know, if you ask slaves or people, like, you know, Julius Caesar's slaves or anything like that, you know, how was it? Or, you know, if you had a choice, would you have been a slave? And they always say, oh, yeah, it was great. But you're asking somebody who is, like, gonna suffer if they say the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course, it's... they're not the only empire that's done this. It's just when you're the... everybody basically sees themselves as the main character of their story. So even though to the rest of the world they're doing terrible things, they're raping, they're pillaging, they're destroying cultures and other people's histories, but to them, they're freedoming the world. They're the heroes of their story. Because to them, if everybody else, if you destroy all your enemies, then of course you're going to have peace, because everybody else is going to be dead, or they'll become part of your empire.
It sounds a lot like the blueprint for Team America, World Police.
A little bit. It sounds very familiar. Then again, you know, I'm sure if we take a look at other empires, like, not obviously, America, Britain, there have been many in recent history that have all followed a pretty similar blueprint. And then I'm sure if you look even further back, besides the Roman Empire, you'll find others that have done very similar things.
Oh, the only other note I had, and I have to bring this up, they mentioned that somebody got a Billy-Doo from his sister.
All right. We still don't know what a Billy-Doo is.
I hate that.
Well, we could just look it up. That would be the smart thing to do.
We'll look it up in, like, afterwards or something and post it. But
Billy-Doo is a dumb word, for sure.
It sounds like somebody got a hand job in court.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the stories in there from Julius's life was a little interesting. He got caught by a group of brigands and managed to convince... somehow he was able to communicate with and convince a group of people who were not happy with his captors into helping him attack them, and managed to launch a coup against his captors and take all their gold. And they were going to ransom him. But so he got to keep the ransom for himself and take all of their wealth. And I thought that was kind of hilarious.
I mean, that's a politician, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very resourceful individual, for sure.
I mean, I think that that's part of it. Like, and part of what I didn't know, because sort of I assumed that all of these, like, Roman emperors were just, like, dudes that were, like, looking down on everybody, and I guess most of the time they were, but Julius Caesar was kind of a different guy, and there was a few people that, you know, the book also talked about it wasn't the only time that happened.
And another thing is that after Julius Caesar's death, and there was a rebellion, and eventually the rebellion did get put down. But as a result of those events, there was like an even the elite gripped even tighter and gave power to another monarch, eventually Augustus Caesar, who then, as he went through his career, gradually stripped the senatorial, all the politicians of their real, any real power, so that he was the only one with power. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny that the wealthy, the senatorial elite spent so long just hoarding their power, only for a single individual to come along and take that power from them for himself.
I feel like that's the natural, like, course that that's supposed to take. Because, like, you have one force pulling for the status quo, which is the senators, and then you've got some people pulling to try to move things toward, like, dictatorial rule, or like a more democratic rule.
And, you know, as long as the elite were still getting what they wanted out of the deal, they didn't really seem to mind giving up their power either, so.
Sometimes they have a good, like, exit package, you know? Sometimes they have a bit of a parachute.
Yeah, they give you a very nice retirement plan, you know?
Yeah. And they were done with it anyway, and, like, they thought, you know, we milked it for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess that's it for this book, and next part's gonna be the food. Yep. And this time we made something delicious. Well, I mean, every time we made something delicious, but this is a particular favorite of mine.
Unless we plan on sometimes making something fucking terrible.
I mean, maybe for fun, who knows? Although also accidents happen, so we'll see.
Oh, don't say that. That's ominous. All right, bye.
Bye. All right, and we're back with the food portion. This time we made picadillo, one of my favorite dishes. It's real easy to make and real delicious.
I've eaten so much picadillo in my life. That's been like one of like the main, like it's like soccer mom food in Mexico, I'm pretty sure, or for Mexicans rather.
And I'm pretty sure it's got to be where the inspiration for the American ground beef taco probably comes from.
I'm guessing it's the closest thing. I remember like when I was a little kid, I was like when I first saw the American equivalent of picadillo, that like reddish, weird, like heavily cumin Taco Bell meat. I mean, honestly, I love it a little bit. I sort of like had this like disgusting love for it, but I had no idea where the fuck it came from. But I think you're probably right. Either that, or something to do with nachos, or you know how like they put like ground beef on nachos, or like
Yeah, you can do the same thing with picadillo too. You can put it, you can make tacos with it. You can eat it with rice. You can, some people make empanadas with it. Nachos, you could do.
I definitely have seen more like rice empanadas. I've seen those a little more in Miami, and that's like the Cuban picadillo with like olives and shit like that. It's all the countries have their own version, I guess. But this one would be a lot more toward the Mexican side of things.
Correct. Basically, it's ground beef, and you want to start off by sautéing some onions and garlic and peppers, and then you add your ground beef, and you brown that real good. Then you want to add your seasonings, salt, pepper. I like to put oregano.
Oh, don't forget the potatoes.
Oh, correct. And you also, after you add the beef, you're going to want to add your potatoes, diced pretty small, two of them. That way they cook pretty quickly. And then you add your seasoning and your chipotles, and you just let that cook down for a little bit.
Yeah, the smaller those potatoes are, the more they're gonna cook quickly, and the type of potato is gonna cook a little bit differently. I think the best way to tell is just poke them with a fork if they feel like a cooked potato there.
Yeah, if they're tender and they like fall apart a little bit, your potato is done. I prefer using golden potatoes because they cook a little bit faster. They're less starchy. Russets also work. They're the cheapest, and but they do need to. They take a little bit longer to cook. So just
I've
my.
definitely had it with potato before, by the way, but it's like a point of contention. Like some people feel like it's filler. It probably is. That was probably the initial like intention of why it was added. But it's potatoes are great. This is like the best filler. Why would I complain?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I love potatoes pretty much in all forms, so.
And we'll drop the recipe with all the ingredients and everything in the on the site as well. And this one felt like it went really fast, didn't it?
Yeah, then.
There's not that much to talk about picadillo.
No, that's the beauty of picadillo.
Okay, so that's it for this one.
All right, that's it for this one. Short and sweet, but that's why I love picadillo. It's quick and easy and super delicious, and you can eat it and with a number of and a number of preparations. So, all right, guys, next time.
Sweet.